Guys, I've been sitting here for an hour. Where the heck have you guys been? I mean, I watched the episode. It was a repeat from last week. I don't know what the heck that was about.
I've
been sitting here for you guys to talk about the show for over an hour.
Ben, it was a new episode at 9 tonight.
What?
Yeah, dude. Dude, what episode were you watching? Were you watching reruns again? You know, there's only a certain amount of times you can watch the same episodes.
Did you at least DVR the 9 o'clock one?
I hope so. That would suck if you forgot.
I think what we've learned tonight is that, you know, Ward is the king of creepy.
Ward is evil. Thank you. Good night.
I would agree with you if I had seen any of it.
Oh,
wait. I did. So, welcome to Agents of Speak, episode 18, and today we're talking about the exciting continuation of evil in the ranks of S.H.I.E.L.D. and S.H.I.E.L.D. falling apart and crumbling around us, and Ward's duplicitous nature.
Duplicitous?
There's still some duplicity there.
He's way past duplicitous, man.
Yes, triplicitous? So I did in fact see this episode, and it was pretty good. It was pretty interesting. A lot of interesting developments. I thought it was interesting how they framed Coulson as, you know, the sort of his personal mission here being a bit of a shot in the dark, and May being concerned that he's gone off his rocker. Only to be vindicated in the end, which is good, I guess. But it was an interesting approach, storytelling-wise. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I just hope we don't have... I don't want them continuing on too long with is this person Hydra or not kind of mentality going on.
I think
it's going to get old real fast, yeah.
Yeah, it not only does it get old, but it gets ridiculous because... I mean, if you think, okay, we're talking about a comic book universe here, but in reality, you have a mole in your ranks for longer than a couple of days, and you're going to be wiped out. They're going to wipe you out.
Right. You know? Right. And the information is out there at this point. Essentially, I don't know if part of the I did like actually, and I'll say this off the bat. They led with tie-ins to the movie. You know, visual and in spoken word that I really enjoyed. Like, you saw the scene of the helicarrier crashing into the Triskelion. You know, heard talk about the the events of that and so they really sort of tied that all up, in a nice little bow. So I like the way that they're keeping the universe contiguous and making sense together. But yeah, there definitely needs to be with that continuity, you know, we know that they had sent out all the intelligence information, which was also referenced by Skye in her comment about how Coulson was right, that it was too dangerous for people, and now it's all out there. So, and maybe with that, some of the details of Hydra's infiltration might get out there as well, and it'll be a little easier to isolate those people.
Yeah.
Well, you'd think it would be, but then we're pretty much looking at Hydra just having the run of the game at this point.
Perhaps.
Go ahead. This episode overall, it wasn't as exciting as last week, obviously because of all the major plot twists last week.
Yeah.
And in some ways, it kind of felt like just moving us forward. To a point, it's the scenes in Lord of the Rings where they're just walking, you know,
which is like most of the movie.
Yes, but I think that there was also an aspect of, you know, they went through this whole, you know, the season so far up to the, you know, a couple weeks ago was world building, was establishing the, you know, the realm that we were working within.
And now it's about Ward.
Well, right, and now it's about twisting and transforming things, about tearing things down and rebuilding them in their true image. So I think with that you have some building to do. So it sort of slows things down a bit naturally. So you have, like, we had the scenery of the clairvoyant sort of gathering, amassing his forces, setting everyone free from the various prisons where they were imprisoned. And with that, the startling realization that he isn't all that powerful of a person, that he's just some guy who has access to information.
Right. I think we can say
that seems to come with it.
And a huge ego.
I think we can safely stop calling him the clairvoyant now and just call him Garrett.
Perhaps. And it's unfortunate that it didn't turn out to be someone more exciting to some extent. Like, we all had conjecture that maybe it's MODOK, maybe it's, you know, some other, you know, alien or Asgardian or some other character, mm-hmm. Or a mutant that they're not acknowledging. But in the end, it's turned out to be some guy with connections.
Well, we may have Graviton soon, so...
That is true. They did sort of have a bit of a real reveal to that at the end there. And it was also nice to see a lot of the old toys dug back up. We saw that pulse cannon thing. We saw the staff got pulled out.
Yeah.
And
if they've got all that stuff, we're in trouble. I mean,
exactly. Hell. That's the whole thing. And they've got the growth hormone formula or whatever the hell that stuff is.
Well, they may have it. They don't.
24.
Yeah, they don't know that yet. He grabbed a bunch of stuff and threw it in his bag, and now they're testing it, but they don't know if they've got it yet.
That's true. They don't know what they have right now.
But right. Seriously, with all the stuff that they've got out of the fridge,
they can make quite a Dagwood there.
We're gonna have to see Thor show up.
No one. So.
What?
I got it.
Very funny. Yeah. We're going to need Thor or Cap or somebody to show up. You know?
Maybe. Right. Maybe. Maybe Nick Fury will be enough. We'll see.
I'm just trying to figure out, like, okay, so the slingshot program was a lie.
Of course it was.
Of course it was.
Well, yeah. I mean, come on. Who believed that? This is dangerous. We'll have to shoot into space. This wonderful, powerful thing that we. Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
But so then it made me wonder. Well, then, who knew it was real and who knew it was fake? You know.
Like, well, it was
who thought it was real and who knew it was fake? You know.
It was probably Fury that set it up as being fake, because he was the one who probably stored all those things. Not Garrett, because he's probably not at that level. Maybe it wasn't Fury directly, maybe it was Hand, it's hard to say. But it was done with less nefarious purposes than how things are playing out to be utilized.
Right. I mean, it always goes back to that expression that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So yeah,
exactly.
Having, you know, a warehouse 13 type room in the bridge was not a good idea.
It's exactly what it is, isn't it? It's warehouse 13.
That's a bad idea?
Yeah.
That's a bad idea. So, yeah. It was definitely, and I'll agree, this was not an exciting episode per se. It was an emotional episode a little bit with the twists and turns, and seeing how evil Ward really was capable of being, seeing him explain how he managed to fool everyone with these calculated efforts.
Well, they really did put to rest the fact. I mean, at the end of the last episode, you could almost believe that he was going deep undercover, but now there is just no question that he was always Hydra.
But it still calls into question, like, so he was sitting there, and yeah, they left that sort of open-ended, but he did sort of start tuning out, and you wonder what was driving that exactly. Like, he did seem like he was, that sort of cast a shadow of doubt, that he was not 100% committed to this new true mission that he was on, John, or that he was on the whole time.
John.
Yeah.
You noticed how Ben's hand is off camera, we can't see it.
Yeah.
There's a troll over there that he's grasping at.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's any coming back for Ward at this point. There's no...
he's gone.
Because well, not only did
I'm not trying to say that he's redeemable, per se.
Okay.
I'm not saying that there's still a chance that he's a counter agent or a double triple agent or any of those sorts of things. I think it's they fairly clearly put that to bed and cemented that yes, he's always been an agent of Hydra. He's always been working for Garrett, and that's been his mission the whole time, to infiltrate into the team, to gain all of their trusts and to gain access to the information they were after, which they did. But my point is that I think that he, as much as he plays that he's, you know, got everyone wrapped around his fingers, I think he does care about the team a little bit. And I think that there's some pangs of longing there that he felt a connection, felt them that they were the family that they thought they were, more so than, you know, he really was.
Dude, he is all kinds of screwed up. There is no going back. Even if he had a change of heart, which is not really possible, there's no going back.
He'll end up being that character that in some way saves Sky by sacrificing himself at the end of the season or maybe the beginning of next season or something. Like, like so that the people that are saying, oh, I think there's a redeeming quality to him, you know, he'll be gone and out of the picture, but he'll have redeemed himself at the end. I kind of think, you know, they're definitely setting Triplett
up. He'll die with redemption, you're saying?
Yes. But they're definitely setting Triplett up to be his replacement.
Yes. His the newer, cleaner cut, darker skinned replacement.
I'm not convinced. I'm.
You still think he's possibly a double agent too?
Yeah.
I guess it's possible. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt right now. I think if he was still a double agent, I think what he pulled with Hand was a very risky maneuver for that type of scenario. It would require, well. I guess what it would require would be for him to know who was Hydra and who wasn't. To know that everyone in that room was not Hydra, then if he was a Hydra agent, he would potentially know that, in which case he could get away with that move with relative safety. I'm talking about last week's episode. But if he was not Hydra, then that shows a lot of courage. Or even if he was Hydra, and if there was any chance that he didn't know the allegiance of everyone in that room, it was a pretty bold move to make.
Yeah. The more you think about it, the more it depends on who the character of the person.
What. Yeah. Like I could see my thinking on it is it's one of two things. Either if he is a Hydra agent and getting implanted, then he would have had to have known that tactic was completely safe for him to pull off, because none of them in that room would have actually been Hydra agents, and he knew that. Whereas if he's not, if he is as noble as he portrays himself, that's actually a fairly, solid gesture there in his favor.
Right.
So, we'll see. They could keep the twists and turns going.
Hopefully not for long, because you can't really...
You know, it's a roller coaster, John. It's supposed to have twists and turns.
But there's roller coasters where you can weather it, because you have a core belief in the team, a core team that believes in each other and trusts each other. And then there's just tearing everything apart. And they've already done that. I don't think this team can take much more mistrust, and keep it believable that they're still together.
Yeah, and that's why they're sort of rejecting him, or not fully trusting him at this point, with the exception of Simmons. Most of the rest of them are just sort of accepting their lot, and Coulson is distrustful. So it's not a done deal. Well, I guess we'll see how it plays out. Maybe he'll have to prove himself.
Did anybody else get an image in their head when Fitz and Simmons were talking, and Simmons says, "Well, no, we can't go back to the way it used to be." Did anybody ever in their head see like Fitz walking up to Trip and then slapping him with a gauntlet and throwing it at his feet?
Well, I definitely got the feeling that was like there was a double meaning to that. Like on one hand, she was clearly pointing out the obvious that everything's changed because, you know, of the current events. But there was also a double entendre to that she's also basically saying, you know, yeah, any chance you had at a romantic entanglement with me is kind of out the window now.
That's sad. That's very sad.
I know.
It was sad.
We all wanted to see Fitz and Simmons together. Though I will say this, that in this episode, Triplett was the one that kept saying to everyone, oh, should we be following Coulson? You know, how do we know we can trust him?
Mm-hmm.
And
but he's been there for 5 minutes.
The seeds
of
doubt.
He's going to be that way.
But it's also sowing the seeds of doubt, which is something that maybe a Hydra agent would do.
Maybe, but it could also just be someone has to sow the seeds of doubt. And he wasn't the only one. You know, Midland May was asking those questions as well.
Not in front of everyone.
But Triplett's the newest to the team. Yeah. He doesn't really have a vested interest in these people yet. He doesn't really have a reason to trust Coulson any more than he trusts anyone else.
And if he is truly just a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent and not a double agent, I mean, his partner, the guy who was bringing him up, his CO,
Esso.
Just turned out to be Esso, yeah, just turned out to be completely evil. So that would in and of itself would have kind of an effect on something.
Yeah, I'd be questioning a lot of things in that state. So
I did find myself wondering when May walked into Coulson's office and said, "Give me your gun," like, how is this going to play out?
Oh, you knew it wasn't going to play out with him actually handing over his gun. Although I kind of for a moment expected her to, like, when he sort of, like, was trying to let the last word, you know, lay, that she would just sort of, you know, be standing there for a second, giving him the stare down, and then, like it was nothing, take his gun. Or have it already in his hand. Like, sort of like, got it.
Yeah. Got your gun. What are you going to do? another point that struck me. So, Coulson has this badge that Fury has a connection to and was able to give him coordinates on. Great. So what happens? It's blown up.
That's true, but he doesn't need it again.
Well, who knows?
He's already in a safe place, and Nick Fury has like a duffel bag full of those that he'll bring along when he links up with them.
Right, and you know, the other thing is, I don't remember the character's name, but Patton Oswalt say something like this was one of his secret bases?
Right.
Yeah.
So he's obviously got other ones scattered around.
Yeah, clearly. Well, we already technically saw one of them in the movie where he was holed up with Maria Hill. It was much lower rent of a secret base.
Yeah.
But it did, you know, serve a purpose. And it, you know, we know Nick Fury's comic book background. It's definitely his MO to have a bunch of these hidey holes around,
mm-hmm.
and a bunch of back pocket things, and, you know, all these sorts of things. And obviously, like we saw tonight, pretending to go, you know, send things into space to blow up, only to have them
away
in a storage locker somewhere. So.
Yeah. Did everyone catch the Black Widow name drop?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, did anyone else notice who the general was who had called into the S.H.I.E.L.D. base early in the episode?
Major Talbot.
Yep.
So Hulk can't be far behind.
I don't think we'll be seeing the Hulk, but I think it's just a nod to the greater universe of things.
He wouldn't be too overpowered for the show.
No, not at all.
Not at this point.
But you did. I think Ben, you did say before that we won't see the Hulk, but maybe we'll see Dr. Banner.
That'd be interesting. Would we see Mark Ruffalo show up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? That might be interesting. It's a possibility. I tend to believe that he's got other things going on, but doesn't mean he can't show up. You know, if Samuel L. Jackson can take the time to show up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. a few times, then I think Mark Ruffalo can make a cameo. But maybe they'll go another way. Maybe they'll have Betty Ross show up or something like that. Have other adjacent
Jennifer Connelly?
Canonically, actually, it's the Liv Tyler version.
It's good too.
The only problem with having Ruffio show up as Banner is
you never pronounce his name right. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know. If it's not, I don't care at this point. I'm tired. If it's not a quick cameo, like at the end of the episode, and he's like on the episode, people are gonna be like, "Well, I wanted to see the Hulk."
So what you're saying is you don't want to see Coulson, you know, telling him all about his past year to Dr. Banner while he's nodding off on a couch.
Yes. And you know, or have an hour of don't get him mad jokes, you know.
Yeah, but they could have great. I was going to say that they could have great fun with that.
Actually, they could. They could
for an entire episode, just you know, have. You know, fighting into the room, and all of a sudden, both parties just slowly back away from him. He's like, well, it's okay, you know, we're going to go fight over here. It's all good.
Save that for Avengers 2.
Have him pinch himself on something. I was like, it's okay.
Here's another comic geek test for you, though. They opened up, I guess, a couple of the cells in the fridge and were letting people out, and as they're coming through the hole, one guy pauses and... but he says, what did he say to him? He said, follow your dreams. So, what? Who was that he said it to? Could it be somebody?
That could be a tease. I don't recall there being... I assume they were mostly the Caterpillar soldiers that they were letting out.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe there are some other abilities mixed in there that they haven't really touched on that you'll see explored more in the future.
Well, the coming attractions, I saw some guy in a trench coat throw a couple of energy beams out, so...
I missed that part. I'll have to look back at that. That would be interesting. I tend to believe they're not necessarily gonna cross the mutant power type line too heavily in the next couple episodes. But I could be wrong. I'm assuming that the next handful of episodes lead up to the close is really going to be mostly Garrett entrenching with his guys, not really revealing a lot of new characters per se, mostly just dealing with re-cementing the team, and Coulson and their team sort of finding ground to stand on.
Well, so here's my question. They have, is it three episodes left at this point? Or four.
Something like that, yeah. Three or four.
They're setting up a lot of things at this point. Like, I mean, I know it's TV and you know, there's the magic of TV and things can be resolved quickly, but...
This isn't television. This is real life, Dave. Things are really happening.
Do you think they can resolve all of these storylines in the next three episodes and have people satisfied, or do you think it's going to be a lot of open-ended stuff that's going to make you like, I need a season two?
I think they have enough episodes to figure out what the hell Sky really is.
Okay, so we don't know what Sky is at this point. We don't know what happened to Deathlok at this point.
Yeah, that's true.
Now they point it back to here's Graviton again.
And we haven't seen Blizzard re-show up either.
Yeah. Right.
He could be back.
Blizzard. And then all of that stuff that we thought was gone is now in the hands of Hydra.
Yep.
So, what is going to happen?
Yeah. We didn't see the freeze ray thing yet. That may show up too.
Grant is going to go out in a blaze of glory. He's going to redeem himself, but the only way to do that right now is to give his life.
Yeah. Well, here's what I do know for what's coming up. Obviously, we saw in the preview, we're going to see Amy Acker show up, and she'll be playing Coulson's former love interest and girlfriend, the cellist. But she won't be free of drama in that she's going to have a super stalker of sorts.
He was the one throwing the energy beams from his hands, by the way.
Right. And I don't recall what his character name is, but is that Blackout or something like that?
I believe so.
Yes. Yeah. So they're at least introducing one more villain to their cadre of villains this season. I did read somewhere that Maria Hill's going to show up sometime this season, and that Nick Fury should show up in the finale. So they've got a stacked deck. They've got a lot going on here. What the story's going to play out is, I'm not sure, but I guarantee you it's probably not going to answer all the questions, and even if it does answer most of the open questions now, it's going to ask more than it answers.
I guess what I'm getting at is
we're not going to be satisfied with a season one and done.
And that's what I'm getting at is, too, as we're getting near the end here, is that, okay, they set all this stuff up, and it feels like there's a lot of things yet to be resolved.
Yep.
So we need a season two. That it was frustrating to have what I felt was a setup episode that, in my mind, was a little slow-paced compared to last week's episode, you know, and the week before that. So it was just like, I was frustrated, like, oh, come on, move this along. Like, okay, yeah, they're going to the fridge and they're getting stuff. We don't need to see every little detail that's going on.
I kind of enjoyed seeing some of those things show back up.
Of course you would.
Some detail in there.
Anything to disagree with me.
Yes. No, I wouldn't say anything.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I'm pretty certain we're not gonna get everything resolved. We're probably not even getting most things resolved, but I'm okay with that because the ride is pretty fun, and I'm in for the ride. That said, we do have one viewer. Oh no, they're gone now. I was gonna say
they fell asleep.
I turned on Q&A, so I wanted to see if anyone had any questions. So if they have any questions, feel free to submit them. But otherwise, I think we could go around and give it our ratings, unless there's something else you guys wanted to chat about.
No.
All right. So Dave.
It's late for us.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
We're not used to being up this late at night and being coherent. So Dave, let's get your cape rating on tonight's episode.
All right. So I gave last week's episode. What did I give it? 9.5.
There was numbers. I don't remember exactly.
Yeah, and
you take me for someone who watches these things.
So like I said, to me it was slow paced. You know, basically we got more of Ward's backstory. You know, we've gone from boring to Ward to creepy Ward, with his looks into the camera that he keeps giving us. I don't know why they're doing that, but it's just like, okay, you're establishing he's evil. Why don't give him a mustache to twirl?
Mustaches aren't evil, Dave.
Oh.
No.
So, you know, for the people that are interested in that stuff, why they did it. But, again, it was boring to me in a lot of ways compared to what's been going on. So I'm going to give it a 6.5, I think.
Okay. How about you, John? What do you think?
It's a filler episode. It's like this one and the next are probably kind of setups for the end of the season finales. So, I mean, I'll go with Dave. I'd give it a 6 or an 8 for Evil Ward.
Well,
I know what's coming, so yeah, I'll give it a 6, but I'm going to have to give a rage quit to next episode.
Well, I wasn't as, underwhelmed by this episode, so I'm going to go up to a 7. Not a huge jump. you know, because I enjoyed it. I liked the exposition. I liked some of the pullback of the curtain and seeing how, you know, what all the players were and all the plans and all the toys that they had to play with. Interesting wrinkle with the hard drive being encrypted to the extent that Ward has to go back and see Sky and reintegrate himself.
Wait, I'm sorry. I don't want to derail you, but it just hit me that I've realized what my issue with this episode is.
Okay.
We spent most of the season not knowing who the villain was, hidden in the shadows.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we know who the villain is...
You're disappointed.
And it's not as impressive as we thought it was going to be. Yeah, that's what it is. I'm disappointed. So, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish what you were saying.
What villain could it have been that wouldn't have been slightly disappointing?
I don't even know if it was so much the villain as that it was just ended up to be a high-level agent at S.H.I.E.L.D. who had no powers at all, you know, just has some kind of plate on his stomach that we don't know what it is yet.
Yeah.
And that was it. So anyway, I'm sorry. Wrap up.
It's an unlicensed nuclear reactor.
Yeah, I am curious to see what that turns out to be. I'm sure that'll get
Ghostbuster? Wait.
Further review. But yeah, like I said, I'll give it a 7 capes. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a decent episode. I liked some of the plot points. It wasn't as action-packed as some of the previous ones, but it was still a good story and good character development. So that's what I'll go with. All right, guys. So I guess we'll all be back here next week, hopefully at an earlier hour. I haven't actually checked the TV schedule to find to verify that, though.
Yeah.
But we shall see. So until next week, same bat time, same bat channel. And don't let your
wrong universe.
Oh wait, yes. It's a bird. That's not right either. don't let your cape get caught on the door.
Oh, okay.
That's a ticket. Good night.
Good night.
Speaking of capes, you can tug on ours by joining the conversation on Facebook, Twitter, or Google+ at Superhero Speak. If you have any comments on my bad jokes, you can email me at dave@superheroespeak.com.
You can also subscribe to our podcast through iTunes, Stitcher, and various other channels. Or if you'd like to tease the beard of knowledge, you can email me at ben@superheroespeak.com.
We also occasionally rant about things on our website, superheroespeak.com. Or if you'd like to further discuss the prowess of Rainbow Dash versus anybody in the greater geek universe, you can email me at john@superheroespeak.com.
And don't forget to check out our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. companion show, Agents of Speak, which you can watch live most Tuesdays around 9 p.m. on our Google+ page or archived on our YouTube channel. Now let go of our cape.